Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
And welcome to the show, and I'm here today with Greg Smargiassi. Greg, hello to you.
Rob, how are you?
We're great, and you're all the way from Australia today, is that right?
That's it, so Perth, Western Australia, which is where all the action is.
Well, apparently they say so, and it's lovely to have you on the show. Greg, just for the benefit of people listening that may not have come across you, would you just tell us a bit about your background and your expertise?
Background is in accounting, a mix of roles. So I've been a tax accountant, I've been an internal CFO and commercial accountant, also retrained as a business coach a number of years ago. So I worked as a business coach for about 6 years and currently running a business, which is what some people might call a virtual CFO business or an external CFO business.
And CFO is?
Chief Financial Officer.
Right, because on your LinkedIn profile, it says Chief Future Officer, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And that was it. The way that we position ourselves is that we want to teach our clients how to look more in a forward direction than a reverse direction.
Yeah.
Hence the reference to a future officer.
And that's been a criticism of accountants in the past, hasn't it? That they're very historically based and they're not helping businesses predict what's coming up and deal with that.
That's very true. And taking that criticism on board a number of years ago, I made it my mission to do something different and make sure that people can see their future, what that looks like, so they can anticipate opportunities and challenges. So I think the accounting profession has a huge opportunity there to add value to their clients by focusing more on the future than they do on the reverse direction.
Now, you're global, Greg. You see a lot of what's happening around the world. What kind of state is the accounting profession in right now?
Not good. I keep in touch with a lot of people from around the world. The accounting profession in Australia, I think, is in denial. They are really not accepting of you know, technology that's coming and what their clients really want. There's a reluctance to change. I've also done I have a friend who's worked in the US with a lot of accountants over there, and they say the same thing. The US is not good in terms of the accounting profession, and from what I understand, is fairly similar in the UK as well. So I think the accounting profession is ripe for disruption, which is a pretty trendy word at the moment, but it does. I believe it needs disruption. It really does need to get its game together.
What are accountants doing well right now?
That's a great question.
We'll focus on the positive and then we'll pull it apart later.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good way to go. I mean, accountants definitely have skills that are underutilized. So if they were to extend themselves a little bit more in terms of what they do with their skill set, that would make a huge difference to their clients. One of the really simple things they could do is just ask questions. The accountant gives a lot of advice thinking that that's what they need to do, but if they ask more questions to understand their client, that actually can lead to other work. It can lead to a better understanding of the client and helping them. And I think the 80-20 rule applies as well. So I believe that 20% of the accounting profession does it really well, and the other 80% are not doing so well in terms of the way that they interact with their clients.
Do you tend to deal more with the end client than the SME, the small business, and you partner with accountants to access them? Is that your business model?
We don't partner with accountants to do that. Most accountants are threatened by what we do. They think that we're right. Taking work away from them.
And are you?
No, we're not. We don't do any compliance work. Our business is purely built around what some people might call consulting services or business advisory services. And we do not do compliance work. As I mentioned in the introduction, I am an ex-tax accountant, and it just wasn't me. I decided to get out of it, which I did, and I'm not interested in the compliance work. So we don't take any work away from accountants.
Would they forego advisory work to you, though, Greg?
A lot of them won't.
No.
Because they see themselves as filling that space. And unfortunately, it's very challenging being a tax accountant. And as you would know, you can specialize even within tax accounting.
Yes.
To be a tax accountant and an advisor at the same time, I just don't think that you can do that really, really well. If you want to be top of your game, I believe that you would need to choose between being a great tax accountant or being a great business advisor.
Well, that's an interesting point. From the accountants that you know and have relationships, whether they mostly the smaller firms or the larger ones or across the board?
It's across the board. We have clients that are involved or have some of the big four as their advisors, and we have others that are sole practitioners. So it's generally across the board. And we like to work with middle-sized businesses. So in Australia, that's a business that would be doing revenues between, say, $5 million and $50 million a year.
Yeah. And when you look at the good firms versus the great firms, what are the great ones doing that the good ones aren't?
Well, I think they take a proactive approach to the way that they work with their clients. And rather than just talking to them once or twice a year, they would look at how they can communicate with their clients all year round.
Right.
And so what a lot of people do is they wait until the end of financial year before they understand their tax position. And in my view, they should understand their tax position all year round. So from a cash flow management perspective, they look at their quarterly installments of tax and make an assessment every single quarter as to whether those are appropriate or not. But that just doesn't seem to happen. So that in itself, I believe, is an opportunity for the profession.
Yeah. What do you think are the biggest challenges that larger firms face right now, particularly if they want to grow?
It's difficult to turn a ship on a dime.
Right.
So in terms of creating cultural change within a large organisation, that is a challenge. So I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges they have. I was actually invited by one of the Big Four, who will remain nameless for the purpose of this interview, to show them what we were doing and how we were doing it in an advisory sense.
Yeah.
They had attempted to do what we're doing and it hadn't worked very well at all. So they invited me to present to a bunch of their partners, which I did. They were just kind of surprised. They were intrigued. They seemed, uninformed around what a business consultant actually does or a business advisor, which surprised me.
Yeah. But the smaller firms, obviously they're more agile and more innovative. Do they have a better handle on that?
Not necessarily. I think there's a culture that exists within the accounting profession, like it does with, say, the legal profession and right. even the medical profession. You know, we've got baby boomers now that are, you know, certainly in Australia, we have an aging population, and the baby boomers are moving out of the work environment now. They're moving into retirement. So I think as they move out, the younger ones that are coming through are more open to doing things differently.
Mm.
And most of the older guys and girls in the accounting profession, they're like, you know, if I'm 55 or 60, why would I completely retrain myself now when I'm about to make an exit?
Yeah. Have you seen a difference in the way firms grow and win business and stand out over recent years?
Yes, I have. Some of the more proactive and entrepreneurial firms, I've seen a lot of online marketing and positioning themselves very differently. So there's definitely a change in the way that people are messaging the market. So there are those that are actually doing something different, which is great to see. And I think one of the things that I think is really important for accountants is to actually retrain themselves. In my view, being an accountant doesn't necessarily make you a great business person.
Right.
So certainly as part of my journey, I have immersed myself in learning over the last 15 years and literally spent hundreds of thousands of dollars retraining myself and reorganizing my brain so I don't necessarily think like a traditional accountant. And I think that's important. So if accounting firms want to move into advisory services, then they do need to acquire a new skill set. And if people are going to take advice from accountants, they would want to see that their accountants are also successful in business.
So what does that skill set comprise of?
There's a range of things. There's a lot of talk around the world about emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
That's something that I'm very passionate about. So understanding why we do what we do and where our behavioural patterns came from. So if we can understand ourselves, then we begin to understand other people. And by having great emotional intelligence, then we become more effective as communicators and influencers. And technical people, not only accountants but others, are not known for their EQ. Or their emotional intelligence. So that's definitely an area that a lot of accountants could improve on. And beyond that, understanding strategy. What is strategy? How to develop strategy? And how to help clients execute on strategy.
Mm, I agree with both of those. But when you talk about technically brilliant, are they born with EQ or can they develop EQ? And is it too big an ask, Greg, to require them to be emotionally and socially brilliant as well as technically strong?
I'm of the belief that you can learn emotional intelligence. I can just refer to my own journey. I was once upon a time an introverted tax accountant that would sit behind a couple of people.
I don't believe it.
And I was very comfortable in that environment and was never really put outside of my comfort zone. And then when I retrained as a business coach, I had to get up in front of large groups of people and coach one to many.
Yeah.
For a lot of people speaking and presenting, they'd rather die. So I took it upon myself to retrain completely, and it's definitely doable. Anybody can learn it. It takes practice and it takes time, but it's definitely doable.
As professionals, as individuals, how coachable do you see accountants, Greg?
So I've got an interesting story around that. I used to belong to a national coaching group, and to be a part of that coaching group, you had to be an accountant.
Right.
We were very successful in that group. So we were often put up in front of the rest of the group as doing really well. And so I asked a few questions of the group. We brainstormed what the group sold. So we sell tax accounting services, business advisory, financial planning, and so on and so on. And then after brainstorming the long list of things that we actually sell to our clients, I asked the group, how many of you are buying these things that you sell? And yeah. the response was appalling. So they were selling business coaching services, for example, but how many of them actually had a business coach?
Yeah, good point. And
about 10% of the hands went up.
Yeah.
How many had a complete financial plan? Similar sort of results. So the level of congruency, what I call congruency, do you buy what you sell? And a lot of the time they don't.
Yeah, love that. Greg, you're a disruptor. You're a commentator on the industry. What's the worst advice or doctrine that you see being dispensed in this area?
Well, there's a lot of accounting firms now that are positioning themselves as external CFOs. And they believe that cloud accounting is the path to becoming a virtual CFO. And I have seen on countless occasions where businesses have engaged their so-called virtual CFO out of an accounting firm, and they are dangerous. They are causing some real issues. So again, it comes down to their skill set. They actually don't know how to be a virtual CFO, despite the fact that they position themselves that way.
Yeah.
Another example, very quickly, a retail business doing about $7 million a year in turnover came to see us, and they were in financial distress, and asked a couple of simple questions. What are your stock optimization strategies? And there were none. What are your stock management strategies? And there were none of those. And this particular person did have a virtual CFO, and I said, well, where is the strategy? What is the strategy? And there wasn't any. And so this guy was in a lot of distress, and I would be surprised if he actually makes it. But he had been paying fees to get advice and help, and the right advice and help had not been delivered.
Yeah. Would he have naturally expected his accountant to deliver some of that advice?
Absolutely. In talking to this guy, that was what he was paying for. That was what he thought that he was going to get.
Yeah.
It's a problem. And I think, again, the accounting profession, I go back to the comment I made a bit earlier, it's very difficult to be a great tax accountant or compliance accountant and an advisor at the same time. I believe you need to make a choice.
Yeah. Greg, there's some stats in the UK. I don't know if it's the same in Australia, that there are more accountants retiring and leaving the profession and dying than there are coming into the profession now. So the hiring policies for firms are changing. The talent pool is changing. What, in your view, should be the hiring policy for progressive firms that want to grow and stand out? Because it should be about the people, right?
Absolutely. And I would go back to that emotional intelligence concept again. If they're great communicators and they can talk to clients and relate to clients, I believe that is a really important skill to have. And it was interesting to note, I saw that Ernst & Young will now recruit people who are not degree qualified. And that's a big turnaround for a big four firm to do that.
Yeah.
So they've recognized that it's not necessarily the technical stuff that is going to move them forward as an advisory firm. It's the ability to have others, well, it's just to have other skills and the ability to influence and to communicate effectively.
Yeah.
I also read an article not too long ago, and they're saying that the future CFO would not necessarily be accounting orientated or have accounting skills. So AI will take care of that.
Wow.
And so it could be a marketing manager that would be a CFO.
Crazy.
So again, we really do need to ask ourselves some pretty serious questions about where is the profession going? What do we need to do to be relevant and remain relevant if we haven't already lost relevance?
Yeah.
Start building on that now.
Yeah. It brings me nicely onto my crystal ball question. What would you say is critical for accounting firms over the next few years? Because you're right, we are in a disruptive VUCA world, if you like. You know that term, VUCA.
Emotional intelligence is up there. We've spoken about that already. The other thing that I believe that successful businesses will be in the future are data-driven businesses. So if we look at the likes of Facebook, Google, Amazon and the like, they commercialize data. That's their business model. So those that understand their data well will be the ones that will win the day. So part of the future for the accounting profession is being strong in data analytics, being able to pull data out of business systems, understand what that data is telling us, being able to visualize that effectively, and then going back to their clients with good, solid advice on what's working in the business and what's not working in the business.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's a lot of data out there. The accountant that can analyze that data, give valuable insight, force the client to make decisions based on good questions that changes business strategy, that's the future role for a good accountant, surely.
Absolutely, yeah. 100%. And we've been investigating a data analytics system, which is backed by Microsoft. Microsoft are putting big money into that. It's called Microsoft Power BI, if you haven't heard about it. And it is incredible what it's capable of. And it's quite a complex system. It's not easy to use. But we are building that skill set and that capability into our business because we see that as being hugely important going forward.
Mm. Greg, let's talk about you personally for the moment. What do you love most about what you do?
What I love most about what I do is the opportunity to make a real difference to people's lives, not only our clients, but our team members. And to be honest with you, it's not like, Rob, I go out on a Friday night and go, man, you should have seen the balance sheet I saw this week. That's not how I roll. We've helped businesses achieve significantly different results, and that is hugely satisfying. And it changes people's lives. They go from being stressed about cash flow to enjoying their business again, and then thinking about how they can use that cash flow to further develop their business or create wealth outside of their business and financial security for their family and their loved ones. Mm. That's the biggest kick that I get out of doing what I do.
Yeah. Who are your biggest competitors, Greg? Is it an external version of what you do? Is it the accountants that won't let you into their client base? Is it the intransigence of the business owners themselves that don't see the value of CFO?
Competitors-wise, I mean, there are other businesses that are popping up and positioning themselves as external CFOs. I actually think we don't have a lot of competition. Hmm. And if I got a bit cheeky about it, I would say that the accounting profession is our competitive advantage because they are so far behind of where I believe we are at. They're giving us free kicks because they are not opening their mind to different things.
Yeah, I like the football in reference. Thanks very much. So, Greg, do you have a personal philosophy for success? Because I know you're an avid reader, you're into personal development, you're always growing.
Absolutely. So I do. I believe that a business is like looking into a mirror. So everything that's great about my business, for example, is a reflection of me. Everything that's not so good about my business is also a reflection of me. So to improve my business, I believe I need to improve myself and the people that are around me. So that's how you improve businesses. You improve the leadership and the rest of the team. You improve the people and the business will come along for the ride.
I was interested when you said earlier about the skill sets that formidable progressive accountants need. There's another one, which is the ability to win business for me. It's kind of allied to strategy and emotional intelligence, but do you think it's everyone's job in an accounting firm to go out there, win work, build relationships, network, or is that the preserve of a one or two BD-oriented people and those rare gorillas that can go out there and have a conversation?
I believe it's the responsibility of everyone within the firm. When people talk about selling, for example, they often attach a negative connotation to the sales process or selling.
Yeah.
If you look at what selling is, to sell is to serve. So if we take the mindset that we are serving somebody as part of a process, then we're all good to go.
Greg, is there a thinker or a book or movement that's shaped your life a lot in terms of philosophy and approach to business?
Well, there's several, but the one that I really love the most is a book called The Code of the Extraordinary Mind by a guy called Vishen Lakhiani. And he's the founder of a business called Mind Valley, which is out of KL in Malaysia. It's a personal development business, so he sells personal development courses all around the world, and he wrote a book, and it is incredible the way that we think, or the institutions that have been built over the years, and how we've influenced by that. So really thinking outside of the square, excellent book. It's fantastic.
What was the biggest thing you took from that book?
Well, there's a concept that he has, which essentially saying that our happiness comes from within, not from what is around us.
Right.
So when things occur outside of ourselves, we don't let that determine our future.
Yeah.
Stuff happens in life. It does. So it's not what happens to us. It's what we do about it.
Yeah.
And so just being strong and realizing that it's the internal thing that makes us happy and fulfilled, not external. And that's what I keep reminding myself about every day.
I like that. Is there anything you've changed your mind on in the last few years?
I don't think so. I think, I'm very clear on where I'm going and what I'm doing and what we're going to do and how we're going to impact the accounting profession. So I'm very single-minded about that and I'm just focused. I've got my goal. I'm not going to deviate from that and we're just moving forward.
And tell us about the vision for our CFO.
We want to get to a national scale in my working career and then beyond my working career, I'd like to see it as a global business. We've created a range of visual tools and processes and things that just make an absolute difference. And I believe that we can scale up which is what we're working on right now. Then maybe if I, you know, if I retire or you know, not working full time, then I would hand over to others to take it global. That's the plan.
Yeah, definitely. And what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given in your career?
Work hard, work smart, and persist, and don't let roadblocks get in the way.
That is great advice. And Greg, this has been terrific. If people want to find out more about OurCFO and connect with you, how might they do that?
They can certainly check out our website. So it's ourcfo.com.au here in Australia. And I do have a profile on LinkedIn as well. So people can connect with me there.
What would they find on that website?
Well, there's a lot of content. So we make a very strong effort to provide value. So there's a lot of content on our website. There's a lot of reading material there. There's video blogs. The website is quite dynamic, and there's also some great video testimonials on there as well. So if they want to have a look at kind of results that we get for people and the difference we make to their lives, then you'll see that on there as well.
Yeah. And if a business is struggling, what kind of trigger points or pressure points or red lights might they recognize that would warrant a call to you guys at OurCFO?
The usual is cash flow stress. And one of the biggest things that we find is that people look at their profit and loss report and it says, hey, we're making money. It shows profit, but I don't have any cash in the bank. Why is that? Mm. And once you understand why that occurs, it's actually really simple. And again, we've built visual tools so that people can understand that concept, why there's a difference between the profit and loss report and my bank account. If you understand it, you can measure it. If you can measure it, you can strategize it. If you don't have strategy around it, you're leaving cash flow to chance.
Mm, love that, Greg. And I can't help but ask you before we go, are there one or two questions that a business owner would ask their accountant to challenge them on the service that they're giving them and maybe make the case for bringing in a CFO?
Yes, absolutely. So we often get accountants advising our prospective clients not to work with us because they say that we can do it. So what I would suggest they ask is, what kind of experience do you have as a chief financial officer? And of your internal business processes and systems, how much of that has been developed to deliver an external or virtual CFO service?
Mm. And finally, in the Greg Smargiassi Dictionary of Life and Business, what is the difference between an accountant and a CFO? So there's real clarity for these business owners.
A CFO is a strategic thinker. They're focused on the future. They understand how to use numbers to get results. They understand how to use numbers to make sure that the business is focused on the right things and not just looking in the rearview mirror.
Mm, love that. That's a great way to finish. Greg Smargiassi of OurCFO, that's been terrific today. Thank you so much for your time.
So welcome, Rob. Thank you for the opportunity to spend some time with you. Love what you're doing and looking forward to hearing more.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.